Montreal. Hello, you're listening to CJLO News. A local restaurant in NDG became a stop for Vancouver-based Canadian-Filipino chef Mark Singson on a cross-Canada tour to raise money for victims of the Lapu-Lapu Day tragedy.
So we're trying to do our part and trying our best and just to make sure we're keeping our community supported.
Boo Boy is a restaurant in NDG which serves Filipino comfort food. They've been open almost 2 years. Here's their owner and head chef, Eric Lazaro.
I mean, food in Filipino culture is really one thing that brings, it's the glue, right? It's the, it's just easy to bring everyone together through food, you know. The food culture in the Philippines is just, it's a big part of our identity, you know.
After the Lapu-Lapu Day Festival tragedy in Vancouver in late April, where 11 people were killed and nearly 30 injured during the Filipino Cultural Festival, Vancouver chef Mark Singson felt a need to connect communities across the country.
I really felt that weekend. I was supposed to work there, and I had a pop-up dinner, and yeah, it was a lot, so we just want to do our part and try to rise up with the community.
Singson began a tour to cook at different Filipino restaurants in Canada and donate all the proceeds from these pop-ups to the group Filipino BC, which will distribute these funds to victims of the tragedy. There is a Filipino tradition called a bayanihan, where members of a community come together to complete a task. Typically, this involves a group of people lifting and carrying a house. Chef Lazaro says this is a metaphor that he keeps in mind at this time.
That's basically like the community coming together, helping each other, you know, without asking for anything in return. That's what it is in the Philippines. You know, they move houses all together.
Both Lazaro and Singson see connecting over food as a crucial part of healing after the tragedy.
You know, Filipino food doesn't really need elevation. We just need to be championed. You know what I mean? We're in a situation we've always known as good food. It's just now it's time for people to really know.
For CJLO News, I'm Adam Innes.
My identity's to blame. Confusion trades the cipher. Gender brings denial. There's butterflies up in my stomach now. Empathy comes from within. And when the anchor drops, you can't let go of your imagined label. I think that it's a thing.
Welcome to the Voice of the Voiceless on CGLO 1690 AM. My name is Mariam, and today we have Judy with us.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello.
May, unfortunately, she is not here today. Mm-hmm. She's sick, so...
get well soon, May, if you're hearing us.
Yes, prayers to you, and hopefully you get soon so you can come and join us next week for our special episode. More on that later. So today we have also a very special topic for you guys, as it is, so trigger warning before we start, we're going to talk about mental health and, topics related to mental health and, why, we need to talk about this more and, issues that us, Arabs in the Middle East face, regarding this, topic and health issues. So if anyone isn't comfortable in, like, you know, engaging with us and listening to what we have to say, that's what we're gonna talk about today. And we're gonna also remind every few minutes, every 15-20 minutes, we're gonna also
trigger warning.
Yeah, we're gonna say that trigger warning because it's a 1-hour show, so anyone who's listening, you know, will catch up. So how are you, Judy?
I'm good.
Yeah. It was a bit of a hectic morning. But But we're good.
We are good.
We're excited for today's topic, and I think there's a lot to talk about here, and we can share our experiences. I also have some few notes we can talk about. There's an article that I read also. So yeah, we have a lot to say.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, it's Mental Health Awareness Month. This month, May, is considered one of the month is where we talk about mental health and we talk about the importance. And it's one of them. I feel like it's one of the main things that we forget about as humans, because we care about, I feel like people more care about their appearance more than what's inside their head.
Maybe some people, I feel that too. I feel like people sometimes neglect their mental health and kind of focus on their physical appearance. Mm-hmm. Like, they care about what they eat. They care about going to the gym.
Yeah, exactly.
They care about how they look, but they don't really care about, like, what's inside, like how they think, the emotions they're feeling. Like, they just, and society also, like, makes us neglect that in a way, because we're always, like, going, you know, we're going fast. We're, like, you know, catching the next bus, like catching the next movie.
Running.
Like, we can't really think about our emotions and how we're feeling. Mm-hmm. And if we take some time to, like, you know, reflect on that, I think...
sitting with yourself talking to yourself about certain emotions and how you feel towards certain things or certain things that happened with you.
Exactly.
Or, like, events that happened, for example.
So by mentioning, the month of mental health, we hope to, like, really remove that stigma around sharing your emotions, sharing your feelings, sharing, like, what you desire to say to someone regarding your mental health, and actually, like, be open towards it. Because I feel like also in the Middle East, it's not that case, you know, it's still a stigma, it's still a taboo in our countries.
You cannot just speak about your health or your mental health. You cannot just say, oh, I'm sad, like, you know, you have to be strong,
you have to be a certain type of person.
But it's very hard for us to say that we're suffering with one thing or the other. I feel like it's not something that's easy to talk about, but it is getting easier though.
And I think, do you think it's also maybe, I believe it's a fear of judgment a lot.
For sure. Unfortunately, like, I hate to say this, a lot of times people do judge, like, they do, especially older, like, they do judge when you say, like, oh, I'm sad, or, like, I'm feeling this, especially, you know, like, for girls, it's easier for them to voice out. For guys, when it comes to guys, it's actually, no, you cannot speak, like, because guys are expected to be this strong man that don't feel sad or don't feel these type of emotions,
or don't show the emotions at least.
They feel them, but they don't show them. Exactly. They cannot show them.
So
I think it's a very that plays a big part of the whole thing, you know, like, just the fact that they can't speak about it because of the expectation of how they should be.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
How they should be acting.
And it's not their fault. It's just the people around them. They don't welcome that space. You know, they don't say like, oh, I provide you the space to talk about your feelings and things like that. Maybe they want to say something, right? Mm-hmm. But they don't have that like space available for them.
Yeah.
And in the Middle East, and I'm sure other parts of the world, there's a lack of like special care practitioners, like therapists and things like mm-hmm. that. Practitioners who are specialized in like mental health issues. So we do need that a lot in the Middle East, but again, there's not enough support to
there's no
build
awareness.
To yeah, there's mm-hmm. no there's not enough support to build that. There's no funding. There's mm-hmm. a lack of funding. There's a lack of like awareness as you mentioned. So how can you like, you know, how can you build that when like mm-hmm. the society itself doesn't accept it?
Mm-hmm. It starts with person by person,
yeah,
you know, like
yeah.
it's not the whole society together, because you cannot just convince a whole society that's been
of course,
oppressed
yeah.
or that's been closed-minded yeah. for long periods of time yeah. to make them accept all of a sudden, oh, like you need to go to therapy, you need mm-hmm, to talk mm-hmm, to someone, mm-hmm. you all your life you've been doing something wrong. You cannot just right. say that, especially for older people.
Right.
Like I cannot just go to my grandma or grandpa and be like, oh, like, you know, like you've been dealing with this and this and that, but you don't know, and mm-hmm. you have to talk to someone so you can fix that problem.
Yeah.
And it's not a problem. It's just lacking some type of emotional.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's emotional intelligence or something. Maybe
it's more just a lack of support. Like
support.
You mm-hmm. need some help to go regarding some issue in your life, and you are lacking that help. Like you cannot find help to help you solve this issue, or not an issue, but solve this like maybe like a lack that you have, or it's just like something. Yeah, it's a lack basically that you cannot fulfill and you cannot complete.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very problem. That's a problem in the Middle East. And maybe we can continue a little bit with an article that I read this morning, if that's okay, right?
Mm, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Of course, yeah,
we can
go
do
ahead.
That. Judy shared with me this article called The Hidden Face of Mental Health in the Middle East. It's from Arab News. And this article from Arab News was based in Dubai. And the UAE, they conducted a 2019 Arab Youth Survey. And they studied the stigma around mental health in 15 countries in the Middle East. So it was basically a mental health campaign to open up discussions about mm-hmm. Psychological disorders such as ADHD, ADD, bipolar complexities. So, they found out a lot. I think they surveyed around like maybe a few hundred youths around the Middle East. And they found that more than half will not seek medical help due to the stigma around mental health.
Mm. So, due to their parents,
yeah,
the expectations
yeah.
of the people around them,
exactly.
and how they will perceive them afterwards.
Yeah, because if they go and try to find a therapist, maybe people around them will figure it out. They have to like admit it to their parents or things like that. So they don't wanna share that need that they have.
Mm.
And a lot of youths, a lot of people who are younger, they want medical help, but they don't know like maybe where to start. Mm. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to seek help. So that's like something that was mentioned in the article. Also, one third of the participants knew someone suffering from mental health issues.
Wow.
So
that's
a big number. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's a common problem in the Middle East, and not a lot of people are there to help. And then around 50% of the participants believe that there's stigma around mental health. So they think that as mentioned, the society does not accept or believe or support these mental health problems. It had some stats, and like it was really, really important to like put numbers on it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially we can just like, you know, talk about it all day, but as long as like
there's specific,
yeah,
we
there's
have
nothing,
like proof.
Yeah, yeah, there's nothing like to really like put it in and reality, it's a bit, yeah, it's missing. So, for example, like, there's a professor of psychology in the Zayed University in Abu Dhabi that mentioned that there is there's more it's more than stigma in the Middle East. It's a lot about like demonizing mental health, so seeing it as like as a bad thing, like something that's like evil.
Okay.
You know what I mean, like, oh, you have a mental health problem, that's like
poor
that's
you.
Like, yeah, poor you, or like some sort of like evilness is like controlling you, you know, like that, like like, you know what I mean?
it's like a vision for a kid.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Really?
yeah they have that, they have like, it's like it's like the eyes is
you're
you
jinxed.
Know, yeah, you're jinxed, you're cursed, you know, these
okay
these
okay, you have a problem, you're
stereotypes.
Sick, you're like,
yeah,
there's something going on, but that's not because of us, it's because of like, oh, like, you know, like,
because
something,
something like that. yeah or the evil eye is following you. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, those like some like witchcraft kind of things.
That's such a old way.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But I think it still exists around in families.
Wow.
Yeah, that's so
interesting, actually.
Yeah. So that's a way to like kind of coat your mental health problem, to say that it's not because of like what you lived. It's because like other people are.
To not put the blame on themselves. They'd rather put it on like Jenny.
Yeah. Put the blame on other things or other like
factors.
Sorceries, or I don't know, like, you know what I mean, like the evil eye. I do believe in the evil eye, but that doesn't mean that like you can just justify your mental health problem
for
through
sure.
the evil eye. Like, there's so many other reasons why, and there's so many solutions to solve this.
Mm-hmm.
You can just like blame it on some, you know, something.
Mm-hmm. And it's not an issue, it's like,
yeah.
I see it as suffering through something, but
it's something to solve.
Mm-hmm.
solve, and then you need that support to
mm-hmm.
solve it.
Exactly. And it needs time for it to be solved, not like all of the sudden.
No,
it needs like actual,
it needs support,
work.
It needs like mental support,
mm-hmm.
guidance,
of course. And therapists are the place to go
mm-hmm.
To reach for help, or maybe seeking help from people that you love and you care about, and you know they listen to you. That's something too would help you in facing these problems, I think.
Yeah.
But that's so interesting what you said right now.
Now
I'm thinking about it. I'm like, oh my gosh.
No, it's more than stigma. It's more than taboo. It's like, it's really embedded in the culture.
Why do you think that though?
Arrogance?
Jahil,
that's more than it. Yeah, it's arrogance. Yeah, jahil.
Mm-hmm.
Stupidity. more than stupidity. I guess it's like, it's the culture. It's like the traditions. It's like stories passed on from generation to generation. And then, you know, it's believed by our grandparents. Then the grandparents pass it to the parents. And then the parents believe it, you know? It's just something that's like kind of hard to like to let go of.
Do you think they're in denial of what the, you know, like
mm-hmm.
in denial that this person could be mentally ill or like have a mental issue? Like, they see it as something, oh, like if you have that, that means you're crazy, that
mm-hmm.
means you're like and people like, you know, like when you say to people, oh, I have depression, or like maybe I have like this illness, they'll look at you in a petty way, or like they look at you, oh, like poor you, like we need to help you, like look at you differently.
I
think one of the reasons why maybe our culture made this as a taboo
mm-hmm.
could be from how people judged, or how people reach to the others with empathy rather than like as support, just for support. But no, they go with them as like, oh, like poor you,
pettiness,
like something like that, you know what I mean, like I don't know, I feel like this could be one of the reasons why our culture didn't like that.
Yeah,
it's because they don't like the people to see them as weak,
right
especially
right.
guys, you
you're
know?
Right yeah.
Like, they don't like to be seen as weak men, because that's not how they're supposed to.
You're right.
So they created this as a taboo for other people, so
mm-hmm.
Yeah. It made the next generation, in a way,
mm-hmm.
Stop
mm-hmm.
talking about it, or even stop,
mentioning it to other people in fear of...
And denial.
Denial.
Mm-hmm.
They
don't admit. Like, no one... I never hear someone admit that. They don't... First of all, I understand, to be honest, like, not everyone likes to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they don't like people to tell them, oh, like, you're depressed, you're sad, you know, like...
Yeah.
I've seen people and they don't like to be they don't like to hear that they are like no someone telling them like
yeah yeah
depressed.
And it's okay not to share it if you don't if you prefer not to share it to like everyone and you know seek support to like only talk to special people about it, then that's totally fine too. Yeah
like they want to protect their bubble.
Yeah but I do believe it's good to talk about it to anyone who you trust, whether that be can be a friend or a parent or a practitioner or a specialist, you know, someone that you can trust. But I agree that a lot of in a lot of families and in a lot of communities, saying it you fear of you know mentioning it because you will be seen as a weaker person.
If you're seen as a weaker person in our society, that means you don't have control.
Yeah,
that means you lose your control,
you're not enough.
Yeah, like there's a lot of things that goes under people seeing you as a weaker person in front of them.
Yeah, for example, it's interesting that you mentioned it, because in the article they also said that like people who suffer from mental health they are discriminated by society. So if people know that they suffer from like ADHD or ADD or things like that, they may like feel apart from society. Like they may feel like they're an outsider or they don't belong, or people will like see them as something else than what society like should see people as, something like that. And also they mentioned this in like something I told to you to you about this, Judy, when you were on FaceTime. For example, like people can be seen, people who suffer from mental health are seen as disruptive, as seen as like someone who doesn't follow the norm, you know. And then they eventually be considered as like the other, like they're not they don't belong to like the society that we normalize, you know. And they shouldn't be seen as disruptive. They should definitely be seen as like special, you know. They're like they deserve love, they deserve support, they deserve guidance, they deserve many things. And the norms of society doesn't provide that to them, you know. So I think it's not something that they should you know carry on their shoulders. Society should help them and support them.
Yeah, exactly.
The community, you know, the friends, the family, they should be the ones who support them. And they should like, you know, remove that norm of just like you are the other, like we should like discriminate you, we should like let you go, we should like you know just forget about you, like you're just too different from us. No, we should actually do the opposite and like welcome them and like support them and give them more love than you give to other people, you know, because they need that.
Yeah.
So they have like, you know, special needs. So yeah, it's something that's it's a problem in our society, and
unfortunately, and it's also like this discrimination comes from lack of knowledge, lack of society support, as you mentioned, like the fact that to be honest, in our countries, for example, we don't have the mental health awareness. We don't have like a lot of campaigns that support that, and it's because it's not normalized. Whereas here, for example, such as you know Concordia have this resource where they accept students to come to them, and you can actually, there is also 24/7 chat.
Yeah,
I think you can talk on that, and they have also the mental health services where you can actually have a service for a therapist, and it's all for free, which is very interesting, you know, like
amazing. Yeah
like it's really like they provide you with the help, like, you know, like if you need anything, we're here, you have someone you can talk to. Whereas over there I feel like it's less, they don't talk about it a lot, like no one mentions mental health, no one, like I don't think when I was in Syria, even like when I was last year, I don't think we ever talked about these topics, you know, like the amount of trauma, especially because of the war, displacement, all of that. No one talks about it as something that like made them suffer.
Yeah.
They're in denial, you know, like they're in denial that they might have something. So they live in this world of their own that they've built.
Yeah.
And but
they create this like barrier, that like this protective barrier.
Yeah, and they don't share their emotions. Yeah. Like I've been with the people around me over there, and I've seen like how Like, I don't know, they find it so hard to share their emotions, like especially their real emotions. I feel like it's really hard for them to show it around people. They could show it around their like family, maybe sometimes, maybe they're one of their closest family, but like around friends, I feel like it's harder. Maybe they want to get out of this zone or something. Yeah. But maybe that's not the case. Maybe they're just like that. They don't know, maybe. You never know what's the case. And the same thing, I don't know. Well, even here, some people don't like to talk about it. Some people do. So it might not be the case just because of the...
Yeah, I think it's always the lack of awareness. I think that's the issue that we have. But we'll come back. We will put a
break. Do you want to play Fokati?
Should we play a song first? Ooh, okay.
Let's play the ads. Okay. And then let's put Fokati. We're going to put Fokati, My Bubble by Ruba Shamshoum. It's a very nice song, and we're going to put the advertisement. So
okay, stay tuned.
Presented by SiriusXM is back for its 7th edition. From June 20th to 23rd, Carlton-sur-Mer will come alive with performances by Ariane Roy, Petit Beliveau, Clopel Gag, High Classified, Uri, Gus Engelhorn, Belly, Maggie Merlin, and many more. Don't miss the epic Beach Electro Night, the Artisan Market, the classic Mussels and Fries Dinner, the Water Skipping Tournament, and plenty other fun activities. Contact your friends and plan your Gaspésie getaway. Tickets and details at festivalbleubleu.com.
Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
All right, gang, let's really nail it this time. Here we go.
And have the iconic sounds of cinema? Bum.
Well, tune in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds every Tuesday from 8 to 9 a.m.
Only on CJLO 1690 a.m. in Montreal with your hosts Remy
and Danny.
This is how we do it. Da, 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 da. Hey, I never asked you.
Yeah.
You like guacamole? Oh, run! Oh, God! Run!
فقاعتي جميلة حميني من كل سوء انسيني بالوجود فقاعتي جميلة حميني من كل سوء انسيني بالوجود جميلة حميني من كل سوء طايريني بالفضاء انسيني بالوجود فقاعتي جميلة حميني من كل سوء طايريني بالفضاء انسيني بالوجود عبر الجبال عبر البحار خديني في سماكي دعي الهوى ينسج مجراكي عبر الجبال عبر البحار خديني في سماك دعي الهوى ينسج مجراك صوت مذيع وشعر احتجاجي وأنا أراك ولا أرى سواك
Oh,
بالوجود قاعتي الجميلة احميني من كل سوء طايريني بالفضاء انسيني بالوجود
back on CJLO 1690 AM.
Yes, welcome back. You were just listening to Fuqaati, My Bubble by Ruba Shamshoum. Ruba Shamshoum is a Palestinian-Irish musician. She studied jazz performance at New Park Music Center. And she's currently, she was raised in Nazareth,
mm-hmm.
but right now she's living in Dublin, Ireland.
Very interesting, mm-hmm. interesting background, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the music, by the way, the jazz and like even the lyrics, so interesting, so unique. Yeah,
the lyrics just explain how she talks about how her bubble protects her from everything. And like she's saying, talking as if like she's talking to her bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Fuqaati Jamila, my beautiful bubble. Ihmini min kulli su. So protect me from every bad thing. So it's very interesting, like how it mentions it, and like she's like خديني عبر البحار وعبر السماء وبالفضاء. So basically, take me to the water, through the water, and like to the moon or like to the space.
Yeah.
You know, so like, it's really related to what we were talking before about like the our bubble, like how we like to stay within our bubble, maybe sometimes not saying everything to everyone.
Yeah,
like,
in fear also sometimes, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Thank you for the translation, Judy.
Of course.
So we can move on. Again, trigger warning. We will be speaking about mental health. So if anyone isn't comfortable or, you know, doesn't feel like listening to us, that's okay. And that's come later and join our conversation for later.
Mm-hmm.
But Judy, do we have any...
An interesting question. Yeah. I don't know. It says, have you ever heard phrases like you're not crazy, you don't need therapy, you're not, like, I don't know if you've heard it from someone, or maybe someone told you a story where they mentioned and someone told them you're not you don't need therapy, you're not crazy, you know?
Yeah, like you have to be like in denial of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have I ever I feel like in some way or form I've heard it either to me or to someone else, like someone is saying it to someone, and I was like in the room, or I was like, you know, whatever, I was listening to it. But I think it's like very common in families to say that. They're like, oh, like, don't worry, like, it's fine, you know, like you're not crazy, like, it's okay, like you're better than that. Mm-hmm. You know, like they deny your feelings. And I think that's as worse as saying that, like, as like discriminating you or as demonizing your feelings. Like, it's the same thing. Yeah.
Basically, when someone says you're crazy, which comes back to the other question, it prevents people from getting help in a way.
If
I say you're crazy, would you go, like, if you go, if I tell you if you go to therapy, that means you're crazy, would you go to therapy?
Obviously not,
because you don't want to be seen crazy.
Exactly.
You know?
So it would stop
you from going to that, and it will stop you from facing your feelings, and it will kind of make you avoidant.
You would avoid having access to mm-hmm. it. Yeah.
Like
yeah, yeah.
as you grow older, you would be avoidant of your feelings.
Yeah.
You know?
That's also.
Or you would have other coping mechanisms
in
a way.
Right. You know? No. I feel like it's like, it's as worse as saying,
And it's so interesting, you know, like talking about feelings. For example, Lulia, my cousin.
Yeah, Lulia.
Shout out to you.
Shout out to Lulia.
Whenever, sometimes, like, you know, like, kids have kids, baby tantrum.
Go ahead. Sorry, I was going to say.
Say. What did you?
I was like, kids in general, they're so, like, emotionally intelligent.
Exactly, but...
And, yeah, I'll go ahead, yeah.
You're right about that, but... sometimes they don't cry. Mm. Like they have this coping mechanism where they cry.
They
throw
tantrums. Yeah.
This is tantrums. Sometimes I would see her doing that and it's like so fake. I go down to her and be like, Lulia, tell me what you're feeling right now. Like you don't have to cry for me to come to you. Mm. Like, you know, like you would just, I would go down like to her heart because that's what I've seen like people do sometimes.
Yeah.
Be, like they go down face her face to face so they can like... You know, so she can know that you're actually listening to her or the other person know that you're actually talking face to face. I'm a bigger person. We're in the same height.
You lower yourself. You bend your knees. Yeah.
And afterwards, I'm like, tell me what you're feeling. And then she says it and like speaks it. And after she speaks it, the whole tantrum just like leaves. Mm. Like, you know, it's so interesting.
It's so interesting
to see that. And I think that's, it goes back the same way as when we struggle with something. Mm. It's like when we keep it in but then someone comes to you and be like, okay, what's up? You can tell me.
Yeah.
A safe space. Yeah. I'm here to listen. Yeah. And actually listen, not just like, you know, like Lulia when she tells me, oh, I'm feeling this and this. I'm like, okay. That makes sense. You're right. It's not nice. She would be like crying about a dress.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, yeah. Not like saying.
Okay, I get it. We don't need to wear that. Like, you don't have to cry to all of that. I'm like, maybe we just need to ask your mom first. If she says yes, we can go back. We will go ask her. And then she says yes. I'm like, okay, see?
Right.
It wasn't that hard.
Right.
It's the same thing with adults, I think. You can learn a lot from kids. Mm. That's what I learned.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. And I think you're right in terms of like, as adults, we will express our feelings as long as we feel it is a safe space to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing I feel like, especially as adults, because maybe we're more like we have held so much, you know, experiences and loss and grief throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
The person in front of you, they have to listen. They have to like actively listen, and they have to like not deny your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot say like, oh. For example, no, it's fine, you're not crazy, why are you saying this? That's one mm-hmm. reason to do it. There's another reason, another way to do it is like don't feel this, don't let the evil eye possess you, you know, like that kind of like fantasy kind of like a lot of people you know justify their problems with the evil eye, which could, you know, lead to like consequences later on. You just have to like, you know, you have to be in that safe space as an adult to express,
be able to express
your feelings. And that person in front of you again needs to like really like answer like as usual you answered Lulia in like a really nice manner and a more like you know a more in a way that can like, you know, lead to a solution. That has to also be reflected when you're an adult speaking mm-hmm. to another adult, like mm-hmm. that has to also happen, you know.
Yes.
So as I agree, like you can learn a lot from mm-hmm. children. Yeah,
you can learn a lot, and I think it helps with communicating with adults. But mm-hmm. sometimes it's hard to, you know, like when you talk with adults and they say like to you what they did, and you're like, okay, mm-hmm. why did you do that? Like it's wrong. But then I'm like, maybe it's not the right way to see. To talk to people who are making mistakes, maybe like, you know, like, oh, I understand it's bad, you know, like it's people go do mistakes, people do stuff, you know, like you're not the only person. And I think it makes it easier for them to be heard,
mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
they will come to you and speak to you afterwards,
mm-hmm.
or in a way, like I don't know, like, you know, as I said to you, like your feelings are you're good, don't worry. Like,
your feelings are valid.
Yeah, exactly.
You're okay to feel that. Yeah.
And I think I'm trying to do that now in my daily life sometimes, because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I feel like it's very important to make sure that the person in front of you is being heard.
Yeah, exactly.
As they are.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
as you want to be.
Yeah.
You want them to be.
Yeah, exactly. Like, never put the fault on them.
Mm-hmm.
Never deny their feelings. Always, you know, just to, like, support them and mm-hmm. be that, like, second hand mm-hmm. that they can believe
and,
in. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, another thing is, it's also from the Four Agreements book.
Ooh. Yeah. It's yes. I remember that book. Yeah.
Impeccable with your words.
Yeah.
Basically, choose each word that you use affects yeah. people.
Right.
That's actually very important when we talk with people who are suffering or with any person, even if they're not suffering. It's very important to choose our words wisely mm. and to choose what to say and how to say it.
Mm.
Because you never know what the person might be thinking. And if we say that, we might hurt them, even though we're not meaning to hurt them.
Yeah.
But it might happen without noticing.
Exactly.
So yeah. I think that's a very important part of communicating with people.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to these topics.
Yeah, yeah, know? These more sensible, like, emotional topics. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that communication is key. And, and like, you have to actually... I think it's hard though. It's hard to find words that can provide support to another person who's, like, you know, suffering from mental health. Because, like, you what you say is a reflection of your past experiences
mm.
and, like, past stories that you heard from, like, older generations. So you kind of pass your knowledge to, like, other people through what you have experienced and what you have learned of others. And it's, like, it's hard to, like, kind of, like, break that wall and just say, like, no, like, I want to, like, help in my own way rather than just, like, being influenced by, like, what you heard or what you've seen before by other people, like, older generations or things like that. So, yeah, it's very difficult, I think. And it's also, like, it's not, as you said, it's not, like, wrong intentions. Like, it's, mm-hmm. like, someone who... you kind of, like, open up to someone about your mental health feelings or stories or things like that, but they try to help you, but then they can't. At the end of the day, it's not bad intentions, I think.
No, it's
and
not,
that's not because it's not your fault. I think it's just because, yeah, again, you have that lack of support in your community and in your friends, and that's not that's not your fault, and it's unfortunately, like, the leaders and people who don't society itself doesn't provide you that that help. So
I agree. It's very it's a very hard topic.
Yeah, it is a very hard topic. Yeah. No, we're putting ourselves out there, trying our best to, like, share our thoughts in a clear manner. But mm-hmm. It's also sensitive for us too, because mm-hmm. it's something that's, like, that's, like, very important to us, and something that we want to share as the best, you know, as best as possible to mm-hmm. others, without,
and,
like,
being offensive
yeah,
or hurting
yeah,
anyone's
yeah,
feelings.
Yeah,
and,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah, finding the right words and things like that.
It's hard.
It's not that easy.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, I need to respond. I need to think of the right words and I need to actually say them so I don't like say anything wrong, especially with this topic. I feel like it's very...
It's a sensitive topic.
It's a very sensitive topic. But... going back to the Arab households and mm-hmm. like the Arab mental health issues, I think one of the reasons why Arabs has suffered also with mental health issues is because of a lot of wars happening.
Yes.
And a lot of displacement. And all of this goes back to the traumatic. You remember on our first episodes when we did the genetics trauma?
Yeah, trauma response.
Trauma response and all of that.
Yeah.
It relates to that in a way, you know? Because it's, like, genetically goes from one generation to the other
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it affects it. You know, like, it affects it being more avoidant of their feeling, maybe not showing their feelings to their families.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe some families, if you tell them, oh, like, actually, I've been facing this. Like, oh, I've been feeling this way for the past 20 years. Look at me. I'm good.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
maybe that's how their action would be of
exactly.
the other person that you're telling, you know, like, in a mocking way.
Yeah.
Not in a responsive serious way.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes yeah. Not taking your answer like into consideration and actually yeah. like, developing it. And yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. But it's sad that we don't have the much resources back home.
Of course. Yeah.
Especially in the what is it? Low income. How do you say low economic?
What
is it? What is like it? Demand on muscle in the countries that don't have money.
Lower countries with like a lower economy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
especially with those countries.
Yeah,
they don't have this support.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For example,
they don't have that funding from government officials.
Exactly, because the government doesn't even care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
doesn't have the money for it. You or know, like they like put corruption. Their money somewhere else, yeah. or yeah. they put some their money somewhere else, and they don't like give these yeah. resources to people because yeah. they're also not aware.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For example, right now in Syria. I don't know. I always try to think. I tried to search, but I couldn't find anything, actually.
Okay.
I tried to search if after Bashar Assad, our former president, has fled. I tried to search what happened to the prisoners that were in Saydnaya prison.
If they were provided
with any therapists. Yeah. And I wasn't able to find a correct number or anything, but I was able to find like a number that was there a long time ago.
Okay.
I think it says for 14 million, there's like 1,000 or 10,000 therapists or 1,000 therapists, something like that.
Wow.
That's, so that's like nothing.
That's very, very low.
That's,
yeah,
you
yeah,
cannot,
yeah.
how can you like treat 14 million
yeah.
people? Like that's the measure, like that's all the country basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Like how can you treat 14 million? That was, I think, 2016.
14, like 1-4?
1-4, okay. I think.
Yeah.
But that was like in a long time ago, not now. So I don't know if this is a correct number now, but I've seen videos of people being treated and I've seen videos of like people talking to others and I've seen hamlat. So what does hamlat?
Hamlat, like a gathering?
No, not gathering, like organizations doing like an event or like a fundraising for like helping people who are in need, giving them therapists, giving them ilaj, like giving them all of these things that would help them cope
giving
with
them a treatment,
cope with what they faced with. And I think that's very important because in order to heal this generation, they need to have like the right resources to do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of like non-profit organizations, they come to countries in the Middle East and they provide that support. UNESCO and UNRWA and these organizations, they have come to Palestine many times to like provide support to kids and things
talk
like that. Talk to them, give them that space to like say anything they want regarding a loss or regarding the war, regarding their displacement or things like that. So so those organizations, nonprofit organizations, they help a lot in terms of that. But yeah, no, it's like rarely funded by the higher leaders of our countries,
sure.
definitely. And also, like, if ever it was funded in an ideal situation, like it starts through schools. Like feel like money has to be put in schools for the younger generation to really like be aware of of that. Oh, hey, like your feelings are valid. Like
I think
if
there
ever,
should be a book about that in schools, even here.
Yeah, I think
should be a book about this.
I think here they're more open about it. They're
do
like,
you think they have a book about this? Like, do they teach kids like that, or do they
they do teach like about mental health, like they actually encourage kids to be like to be open about their emotions. Like I remember their I don't know if they have them in public Canadian schools, but I remember like I've seen in a school somewhere in Canada or in the US or something they actually like allow kids to say how they're feeling at that moment. Like when they enter the class, they have to like put a sticker on the wall and that sticker is like
They're like their feelings, happy,
sad, neutral, excited, angry. Like they put that sticker on the wall, so they actually are able to like open up before the start of the class and really
That's
be
so
comfortable. But there's also like campaigns. There's campaigns that
campaigns
happen.
Campaigns is hamlat.
Hamlat. Oh, campaigns. Okay. Campaigns. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think the money has to go into campaigns and into awareness. That's the only solution to provide, you know, to have some hope in future generations. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's go and put some ads. And the next song that we will put after the ads is Mish Mohem.
Mm-hmm. By Dasuka.
Dasuka. Okay. We'll come back very soon.
Yeah. Enjoy, guys.
Enjoy.
Inner Geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Brew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
Do you like bubble baths? Hot cocoa on cold night? Snuggling up with a sweetie and listening to the radio? Well, if you answered yes to at least two of those, might I suggest Advice by the Fireplace, CJLO's number one easy-listening comedy advice talk radio show hosted by me, Delilah Karen. We bring on a guest or two from the Montreal comedy world to answer real advice questions and maybe share a few funny stories along the way. Advice by the Fireplace, every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. right here on CJLO 1690. Oh, also, I love you.
كل ما تفكر انك ممكن تكون خذلت حد او تصعب نفسك عليك عشان قال ايه يا عيني سب اسأل نفسك اذا كان اي من كل ده مهم اذا في شيء فعلا مهم اذا انت فعلا مهم كل ما تفكر انك ممكن تكون خذلت حد او تصعب نفسك عليك عشان قال ايه يا عيني سب اسأل نفسك اذا كان اي من كل ده مهم إذا في شيء فعلا مهم إذا أنت فعلا مهم مش إنه أنت تحديدا مش مهم بس إنه محدش مهم للدرجة اللي يمشي بالسلامة طريقه أخضر واللي يجي زيادة الخير خير وبركة مش إنه أنت تحديدا مش مهم بس إنه محدش مهم للدرجة اللي يمشي بالسلامة طريقه أخضر واللي يجي زيادة الخير خير وبركة واللي يجي زيادة الخير خير وبركة في مليون حاجة بتحصل في الدقيقة ومش مهم تبقى عارفهم كلهم والناس يقولوا عليك ملم بالسياسة بالجغرافيا بالعلوم وتاريخ الفن المهم تكون عارف ايه المهم مش قصدي ان وجود الناس مش مهم ولا انها ما تتعش بالمرة بس انه ألذ لو ما تشيلش دم ننسى مبارح ونسيب بكرة لبكرة مش قصدي ان وجود الناس مش مهم ولا انها ما تتعش بالمرة بس انه ألذ لو ما تشيلش هم ننسى مبارح ونسيب بكرة لبكرة وابقى قولي اذا ظبطت معاك الفكرة
Hello, hello. Welcome back to The Voice of the Voiceless on CJLO 1690 AM. You want to present the song that we just listened to?
Yeah, we just listened to Mish Mohem by Dasuka, which is, I just searched it up. It's a band. It's an Egyptian band. And they're founded in 2015 by Luca and Amir Ismail. And then later joined by Khalid El-Demerdish and Michelle Yahya. It's an indie folk band who writes their hearts out about all things relatable, which is this song, for example. Yeah. It talks about how it's unimportant of how people think. It's unimportant. I don't remember the lyrics exactly because I didn't memorize this song. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The other one, I used to remember it. But it's...
It's related to, I think, our feelings and emotions and things like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But hopefully you guys have listened to it and enjoyed it. So we have 5 minutes left on the show. Any last words, Judy, before we
wanted to talk about despite the lack of mental health awareness in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Right now, I feel like people are more aware of it. So people are talking more about it. It's because of social media. It's because of a lot of podcasts or a lot of people who are coming to the Arab world and talking about their feelings. Mm. We were talking about AB Talks, which is Anas Abu... What is his name?
Last I
name?
Don't remember.
I forgot
but
his last
yeah,
name.
Yeah, he's a very a common YouTuber that hosts interviews on YouTube and like really invites interesting celebrities and asks deep questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I feel like these YouTubers, like such as him, he actually provides the safe space for people or influencers to talk about their feelings. And once the influencer starts talking about their feelings, they... inspire other people or they'll let people talk about their feelings. And I think it's a very helpful, like it's a very good strategy to normalize talking about our feelings.
I
you know
agree.
Like he starts the conversation with like, how are you? He's like, how are we? How are you really?
Because
you know like in the Arab worlds we always like talk on the phone. Oh, how are you? Kifak? Tamam. Anti kifak? Alhamdulillah, tamam. Anti kifak? You know, like all the time. That's the
conversation. It's very superficial.
Like fake. It's so fake. Like we don't talk about anything. Like no one talks about their real feelings
because
no one wants to hurt the other.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, like it's bad.
No, I like the concept of the show.
The AB
very,
Talks.
Very 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 new to the Arab world. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't think I've seen that ever before. So again, it really helps viewers to like feel comfortable in expressing their feelings. Definitely,
And I think he's from the. If I'm not mistaken, is he from the UAE?
Khaliji, I think.
AB Talks.
He is. Yeah, we're going to search quickly, but I think he's,
I think he is. I can't find him, but I think he is. I think he is from the UAE.
Yeah.
His name is Emirati. Yeah,
Emirati,
he's an Emirati entrepreneur. He is from the 43 UAE. 43 years old. So he's an Emirati guy.
What's his full name again, Judy?
Anas Bukhash.
Bukhash, okay.
Bukhash.
And his channel is AB Talks, if anyone is interested on
so
YouTube.
Exactly, so it's like first and last name.
So he's
very, he's a very inspiring voice for the Middle Eastern world.
Definitely, yeah.
And
yeah,
another guy I was telling Mimi, his name's Ahmed Shigheri. He doesn't go and talk to people. But he has been doing shows for the past all my life almost since I was a kid. I used to watch him every Ramadan. He would go and travel the world. I forgot what was the show called, the first one. He would travel around the world and just discover what they have, the good things, and he would put them on TV and people in the Arab world would watch
because
it was a very, very famous show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to search him up actually,
yes,
like the show. I know. Khawatir. It's called Khawatir.
Okay.
It's from 2005 to 2015.
Okay.
So 10 years.
10 years of TV
10
show.
10 years of TV show.
Wow.
Where he goes and travels around the world and discover new things and tells it to the Arab world.
Wow,
it's so interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a new way to opening eyes for people.
Yeah.
And he also has a new show, which it's been 2 years, I think. Three years, and he's been doing like the also asking questions and like discovering new things for the Arab world.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing, Judy. Very interesting. Hopefully you guys liked the topic. You were listening to Voice of the Voiceless on CJLO.
I want to mention one last thing.
Yes. We have 5 seconds. I don't know.
If you ever want a safe space here in Canada, you can go to Maktaba.
Yeah.
It's a very open space for people and communities.